what? Let's turn to page number 76. Oh, wait.
Won't it be a happy, happy day when we gather on the other shore? Over on the other shore, yonder on the golden shore. Every earthly care shall pass away. We'll be happy there forevermore. When we sing around the throne eternal on that wonderful day.
Blessing after another. And it says, thank you so much for the surprise birthday party. Well, now you know who it's from. The surprise party that wasn't such a surprise. For the surprise birthday party and the gift, but thanks most of all for your love. You all are the very best. I can't imagine being anywhere else but here with you. Love, Brother Sam.
Next time you better let Joyce read. That's kindness.
All right. Well, Brother Sam, we can't imagine you being anywhere else but right here.
Amen. Amen.
Turn with me to page number 87. Page 87.
I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. How he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. I will
Thank you, Gene. Next time I'll let Cindy write it. So maybe.
That's no guarantee my reading will be there.
Well, my writing looks like hen scratch. And if you've ever seen an old hen scratch in the yard, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
Good morning. It's good to be here. Good to see each and every one of you. And we had a wonderful class, as normal. Amen. We always do. You did?
We did.
Good. I know everybody else did as well. If you're not coming to Sunday school class, you are missing a blessing.
Amen.
We're having some good studies. I have also a... you want to read this one too? I also have a card that says, "Gratitude is the memory of the heart." To Oak Hill Missionary Baptist Church family, from my heart to your heart, thank you. Thinking of you and sending a reminder that you are thought of lovingly and often, and that thankful prayers are sent to God for you. Love you all, Miss Darlene Black. So we appreciate the card from her and keep her in your prayers. All right, I can't hardly talk, so y'all pray for me as we try to get through this. Our announcements. This morning will be our special offering for Brother Walter. As you're well aware, he's still going through treatments for his cancer, and along with that comes a lot of bills. So we're trying to help him what little bit we can. So second time the plate is passed will be for Brother Walter. Every year since I've been here, we have given out Thanksgiving baskets to folks that are in need. This year is not an exception. We're going to do that again. Miss Georgia needs the names by the 27th, which is next Sunday. So if you know someone in the community, in the church, wherever, that's in need of a Thanksgiving food basket, please get with Miss Georgia and give her the names. We give pretty good baskets, I'll tell you, and they're much appreciated, much needed, and we're just happy to be able to do it. So don't forget to give her those names. Then we will, by the first of, I think, November, first Sunday in November, we'll kind of have a list of what we need to bring. We'll talk about that more when I can talk better. Or Gene can do it. I don't know what it is, but anyway, y'all pray for me. Next Sunday morning, the 27th, will be our Youth Fund offering. The Youth Fund feeds the kids on Wednesday night and takes care of a lot of other things like that, so keep that in mind. Saturday, November the 2nd, starting at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, will be our fall festival at Ed and LaVita Kaiser's. We'll have directions next Sunday. It's not hard to find. They have a wonderful place that they graciously allow us to use, and plan on coming to that and bringing someone with you. And that was brought to my attention this morning that I've forgotten to mention this on Wednesday night for the Wednesday night kids. So don't let me forget that. I get wrapped up in my Bible studies and stuff, sometimes forget. So let's get a list of them that want to come. If they don't have a way, we'll try to run the van or something for them so that they can come. So if you see some of them, remind them as well. All right, nursery attendance this morning is Donna and Sam, and I guess if she needs help, she'll holler. Where'd she go? Oh, there she is. I was looking on the wrong side. She'll throw something at me here in a minute. Next Sunday is Michelle and Holly. Did I miss anything?
Page number 211. 211.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus.
Get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing.
everybody.
Morning.
Good to see everybody out this morning. I can't think of a better place to be this morning than right here at Oak Hill Missionary Baptist Church.
Amen.
Brother Sam.
I know a better place.
No, you don't. Well, heaven is the only
place. That's it, buddy.
Amen. Boy, you got to watch Eddie Joe like a hawk watching a chicken. Now, see, he's ripped my train of thought. I think he does that on purpose. I don't have a very good train anyway. But we got some new old books last week for the choir. And these books are really old. These are first edition books. And during choir practice last week, we were like a bunch of kids at Christmas. We went through singing all these old songs out of this book. And so I just kind of arbitrarily picked one that I thought they did a really good job on last Sunday at rehearsal. Beautiful song, beautiful message, has a copyright of way back in like 1948. Most of us were not even born in 48.
I would.
I said most of us. So we're going to sing it for you this morning. It's entitled, It's Really Surprising.
Last Sunday night, singing, hearing all these old songs sang out of these books, that's what I grew up with. It was they were having a good time singing them, and I was wanting to sing with them. I just can't do it, but it was a good time. So if you want to be a part of the choir, come I don't know if you're practicing tonight or not this evening, but come and just join in and sing a joyful noise. It's good to see this good number out here today. Last night, about 4 o'clock, I woke up with some kind of pungent smell in the house and got to looking around, and our refrigerator in the kitchen was going out. And so we got 2, thank goodness, but there's so much stuff piled in that other one, I don't know if we'll ever find it again. We may have to give it to the dog. So we've been up for a while. I think we finally got another 30 minutes sleep. And, so anyway, y'all pray for me as I stand before you this morning. Something in the air, I guess. I don't know. My voice is just what it is, but it's a little worse today, so y'all bear with me and pray with me. All right. We're going to be reading kind of a lengthy read out of Hebrews chapter 11. As most of you, if not all of you, know, that's the faith chapter. I started to read the whole thing, and then I got to thinking I was going to run out of time, so you'll have to try to keep up with me as I skip down through that. And then we'll be in John 14, and then we'll go backwards to John 10 for just a little bit of a read. The last couple of Sundays we've talked about being where God is, 2 Sundays ago, and then last Sunday we talked about strength in difficult times. How we accomplish these things is through what we're going to talk about today, faith. We can get through any obstacle that we are put up against through our faith in Jesus Christ and knowing that God has this all under control. If there was ever a time when we need faith, it's now. Some would argue that it's always been that way, and I agree with that, but there's been many times in the history of man that faith has been needed. But I submit to you this morning that Christianity is under attack more today than at any time in our history. Satan is on the offensive, and he seems to be doing a pretty good job of distracting folk and getting what he wants done here. Rest assured, though, that Jesus Christ has already won the battle. I try not to watch too much television news anymore. It's so negative and so biased. I just can't hardly do it. It's so one-sided. It doesn't really matter which side you come from. There's biases trying to prove points and promote or destroy this or that thought process and agenda. And I can't deal with that too well. I'd rather read the book. The Bible, and know what's going to happen in advance. You don't need to watch the news to know that this world is becoming ever and ever increasingly hostile to people of true faith. We see it everywhere we look. And yes, I said true faith, because there's much out there that's based on biases and what people want to believe. We talked about this some in our class this morning about sheep and wolves clothing and stuff like that come in. So it's out there. And if you don't know the Word of God personally, you don't know if it's truth or not. I've told you many, many times, I'll tell you again this morning, don't take my word for it. Read the Word and see what the Spirit leads you to. When I do listen or watch the news, which is not very often, here's what I see. I see very liberal cities like San Francisco, which is arguably one of the dirtiest cities in the nation, if not the world, with a homeless population that's just astronomical. Telling the rest of us what we're going to do and not do just because of their number of delegates. So that's one of the things I see. I see big cities like Chicago, which has some of the most rigid gun laws, that also has the biggest number, if not the biggest number, of gun crimes on a daily, if not weekly, basis, trying to tell us that we can or can't have guns. I see places like New York City telling us that it's okay to kill a baby after it's been born if the mother and the doctor agree. Worldwide, we see nations being held hostage because it isn't in the best interest of other nation states financially to allow them to leave a union that was formed years ago. All of this can be and is very disturbing. Christian beliefs and practices being attacked not because they are immoral or inhumane, but because they don't fit the narrative of someone that has an agenda. How do we get to where God is in all this? How do we have an enduring strength in these trying times? There's a one-word answer. It's a big word. It's called faith. I know this is a long read we're fixing to start in on, but if you'll bear with me, try to keep up. I'll give you the scriptures whenever I skip a verse. Okay, I want to read the first verse first and stop. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is something that you believe God in His promises is going to grant you. Faith is knowing that God made the way by which we can come to Him. His name is Jesus Christ. Faith is knowing that no matter what happens in this world, God is still in control. Let me tell you something, friend. If you have faith, true faith in Jesus Christ and God Almighty, all this other stuff is just a passing phase of this life. Because we have hope through our faith. Verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Isn't that amazing? Let me tell you something, friend. I'm not saying that we can live good enough to not see death, but I am telling you that because of Enoch, we know we can live good enough to please God. Amen. Verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I quote this verse quite often. I love this verse. Let me tell you something. If you diligently seek God, if you do it day by day, God will reward you. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Think about old Noah. It had never, ever rained one drop in the history of the world. God said, build an ark. There's coming a flood. And he started work. That's faith. 120 years he worked. Still no rain. That's faith. And when God opened up the floodgates of heaven, the whole earth was covered by water. But Noah was saved through his faith. So many sermons right there. God closed the door to the ark. God's going to close the door of this grace period we're in one of these days. It's our faith, just like Noah's, that will see us through. Verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. Listen to me, friend. Abraham had a good life where he was at. God said, I want you to go down here, and I'm going to make you a great nation, and you're going to inherit all this land. He packed up his stuff and he left. That's faith. That's faith. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the sea shore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. These people lived by faith, and they never got to physically see that faith come to fruition. Many of our forefathers fit the same category, who've held the faith, who have fought the good fight, who have kept the truth, and who have went on to be with Jesus. But let me tell you something, friend. One of these days, Jesus is coming back. And then we're all going to see the promises come true. By faith, in verse 17, when Abraham was tried, offered up Isaac. Think about that one for a minute. Abraham was promised this son, and in his old age, God gave him Isaac. And then God said, I want you to take him up on the mount, and I want you to offer him on the altar there as a sacrifice to me. Let me tell you something, friend. I believe that Abraham had the faith that if God wanted him to kill Isaac, he could raise him from the dead, because he was the promise of God. Listen, it's such a picture of Jesus Christ, because God promised the deliverer, the redeemer. His name is Jesus Christ. He was able to put him in the ground and raise him up again, and he lives today. I have that faith. I know Jesus lives because I've met him, as I hope all of you have. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. According that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, you remember him? Taken captive, sold into slavery, off down there in a strange land. God worked great works through Joseph because he was faithful. By faith, Jacob. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the parting of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather. Did you hear that? Choosing. That's what faith causes us to do. Choose God's way. If we just look around this world, and if we see all the things that are going on, we can either choose to stick our head in the sand like the ostrich, or we can choose to have faith that God will deliver us. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not. What can I say more? Verse 32. For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms. Listen, friend. Paul is saying here that I could go on and on through the Spirit and tell you of the faith of so many people, but time would not have us to tell you of the faith of all of our founding fathers who came across the ocean in a little boat. And I mean a little boat. They called it a ship back then, but it wasn't very big. And they floated across like a bobber, like a cork, up and down. 3 months. It took them to get to this land of opportunity. Folks, that's faith. You know why they came? So that they could worship God in spirit and in truth without being under the thumb of someone that was telling them what they must believe. They had faith that God would see them through. They came and they landed and they built a nation based upon the principles of God's Word. We're enjoying those freedoms as we speak because of the faith of our forefathers. But don't kid yourself, friend. Our faith, our practices, and our beliefs are under attack. And the only way that we will endure, the only way that we can be where God is, the only way that we can have this enduring promise, this enduring strength, is through our faith in God. So don't let the world get you down. Don't let the things that you hear on the news make you have long face and say, woe is me, well, what am I going to do? Look up. God has this under control. Through faith, we will endure all hardships. All the things they went through in faith. And we worry about tomorrow. We worry about what is going to happen tomorrow. Two things we need to hold close to. Because of our faith, we've been given some promises in God's Word. I love the promises that God gives us. Listen to me for a second. Two things. Security of our salvation through Christ. We're saved by the grace of God through our faith in Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something, friend. You can't work to get salvation. You can't be good enough to keep it, but God can. John chapter 14. I want to start in verse 1. John 14, 1. Let not, Jesus speaking, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Listen to me, friend. He's talking to you and me. Jesus Christ is went so that he can prepare a place so that we're, and if I go in verse 3 and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way, you know. Well, old Doubting Thomas said, we don't know Jesus. And Jesus said, you do know. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let me tell you something, friend. There's people throughout the world that are chasing false beliefs and doing a meeting on Sunday morning and teaching things that's contrary to the Word of God. Let me tell you something, friend. The world needs to know that you can never, ever be where God is except you come through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. But when you trust and believe, When the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you believe in Jesus Christ and if you call on His name, you shall be saved eternally. It's an eternal salvation. The second thing I want you to know is our future with Christ. Go back to John 10. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your future is with Christ for all eternity. Listen to what Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Did you hear that? Any man. That means no one can take you away from Jesus Christ because He has you safe in the palm of His hand. And verse 29, "My Father which gave them me is greater than all." That's Jesus giving all the honor to God. "And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." But listen, in verse 30, "I and my Father are one." Thank you, Jesus. Let me give you a few scriptures if you're writing them down on security of the believer. If you want them afterwards, I'll give them to you later. John 5 and 24. This is taught throughout the Bible. John 3, 16, 18, and 36. Romans 8, 35 through 39. Am I going too fast? Sorry. I'll start over and I'll go slower. John 5, 24. John 3, verses 16, 18, 36. Romans 8, verse 35 through 39. 1 John 5, 11 through 13. 2 Timothy 1 and 12. Hebrews 10, 39. 1 Peter 1 and 5. I have those in the flyleaf of my Bible. I look at them often. I love reading them because it tells me that I'm safe and secure in my belief in Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something, friend. In this trying time that we live in, and I don't know of anyone that don't have trouble in this life. The Bible tells us it rains on the just and the unjust alike. It happens. But we can get through our faith. I believe from the very depths of my soul that Jesus is coming back. And because that I have given Him my faith and trust, that He's able to keep it against that day when He's coming back. When you have Jesus as Lord and Savior, you have nothing to fear but fear itself. Listen to me for a second, friend. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you should be afraid. You should be trembling in your shoes because one of these days, God's going to send Jesus back. And if you haven't accepted Him before He comes back, you may be facing hell fire and all eternity. Separation from God. Separated from God, those you love who have gone on to be with the Lord. But you don't have to be, because you too can accept Jesus Christ. I pray that everyone that's here knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But if you don't, it's not too late. All you have to do is trust and believe. Call upon the name of the Lord, and you shall be saved. Listen to me, friend. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're going through some dilemma in life, we all have them. Something that just seems like it's insurmountable. Something that just drags you down and you just can't seem to get past it. Stop right where you're at and listen to what the Spirit says. Come unto me through Jesus Christ, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You see, I have faith that if I'm willing to give my burden to Jesus, He'll take it. He took the burden of my sin. He's already done that. Do we know that He's able to take the burden of this life as well? I have faith He's coming back. I believe it could be soon. I want to be where God is. I want to be where God is. But God has chosen to leave me here, and I have a purpose. It's to tell people about Jesus Christ and to tell people about the faith that sees us through hard times. Listen to me, friend. We'll all be better off whenever Jesus comes back if we've accepted Him as Lord and Savior. If not, it don't look pretty. Read Luke 16 and you'll see. I admonish you this morning that your faith in Jesus will set you free from any situation you're in, no matter what it is. I have faith that He'll forgive me when I mess up. I have faith that He'll give my spirit peace in troubled times. This faith thing is wonderful, let me tell you. Because God is so much greater than anything this life can throw our way. Do you have faith? Do you know that Jesus has already won the battle? His victory is in Him. We have victory in Jesus. Another one of those good old songs. There's victory in the Lord. Amen. I want to ask our song leader and our pianist to come. If you would, stand with me for a word of prayer. Our Father, as we come to you at this time, Lord, we know and we know you know that this old world is trying and that there's so many obstacles placed in our way that drag us down and even make us question our beliefs and our faith. Lord, I pray that you would remove the obstacles and that you would open our heart and our minds and that we might truly, truly understand that the faith that Abraham had, the faith that Noah had, the faith that Isaac, Jacob had, the faith of our forefathers who founded this great country is a faith that we can have as well. All we have to do is trust and believe. Lord, I believe that as time goes, it's going to get harder instead of easier until Jesus comes back. Strengthen our faith. Strengthen our resolve. Help us to stand firm in teaching the truth, preaching Jesus. We know there's only one way to get to where you're at, God, and we desire to be where you're at, and we want all of the ones that we love to be there with us. I pray for the lost scattered about. Lord, just soften their heart. Open their eyes. Open their heart, that they might be willing to hear about Jesus Christ. Whatever's going on in the lives of folk here today that know you, and I know there's a lot, the world is full of trouble. I just pray, Lord, that you would just reach down and take that care from them, that through their faith they might have peace. True joy only comes from serving a risen Savior. And I call that joy down upon this congregation today. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Page number 102.